This is Christian Questions.
Zig Ziglar once said, "It was character that got us out of bed, commitment that moved us into action, and discipline that enabled us to follow through." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with a purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, christianquestions.net.
So, I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we're glad that you are here with us early on this brand new Sunday morning in this brand new year. Happy New Year, Jonathan.
Happy New Year, Rick.
So what is the topic for this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, should I be committed? Well, Rick, sometimes my wife thinks so.
That's a loaded question. All right. I think we'll have fun with that this morning.
Our theme text comes from Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked stumble in time of calamity.
So again, Happy New Year. Another year in the books. For some of us, we may look back and think, I'm glad that's over. For others, we might look back and think, I'm glad that happened. And for all of us, I hope we look forward with hope and anticipation for God's will and blessing in this coming year. As we begin 2012, let's take some time. I mean, we're really doing it at the very beginning of the year now. I mean,
we are.
Hello, are you awake yet? Let's take some time and talk about what it takes to make the kind of changes in our lives that will actually be meaningful and hopefully permanent steps forward toward a more effective life as a child of God. And Jonathan, obviously, at the beginning of a new year, so many people get focused in on making their New Year's resolutions.
Sure, they do.
And
which is a good thing.
It is a good thing. The big difficulty, as we all know, with New Year's resolutions is usually by the middle of February, it's New Year's what?
Yeah.
Did I say that?
where did the consistency go?
Right. So what we want to do this morning, folks, is just take a little bit of time and look at what goes into making those kinds of decisions stick. And as a matter of fact, this is actually going to be a four-part discussion. It's kind of like four-part harmony without the singing. We're going to be talking about our thoughts, our attitudes, our words, and our actions, but we don't have time to do all four of those this morning, now do we?
No, we don't.
So what are we doing this morning?
We'll do the first two, Rick. We'll do our thoughts and our attitudes.
So we're going to be, this morning, first hour, we're going to really spend time thinking about what you're thinking and how do we think what we think and what part does the thinking play in the actual change. There's a lot of things that go into making changes in our lives. So that's where we're going to start out. What are you thinking? Now, you might be thinking a little groggily. Is that a word?
It sounds good.
A little groggily this morning, but that's okay. I know it's early on New Year's morning. We are glad that you have chosen to spend some time with us. Let's get started, actually, with a soundbite. This is from Matt Cutts, C-U-T-T-S. He was on TED TV and talking about making changes in your life, and he was approaching it from the standpoint that, you know, oftentimes we make a resolution and it's okay, I'm going to change this for the rest of my life.
Right.
go. But he said, look, make 30-day changes instead of these big changes because it's easier to handle and easier to readjust. So let's just take a listen here.
A few years ago, I felt like I was stuck in a rut. So I decided to follow in the footsteps of the great American philosopher, Morgan Spurlock, and try something new for 30 days. The idea is actually pretty simple. Think about something you've always wanted to add to your life and try it for the next 30 days. It turns out 30 days is just about the right amount of time to add a new habit or subtract a habit, like watching the news, from your life. There's a few things that I learned while doing these 30-day challenges. The first was, instead of the months flying by forgotten, the time was much more memorable.
So, he's saying, instead of making the big sweeping announcement and the big announcement of, you know, I'm changing my life starting tomorrow.
For this upcoming year.
Right. And then forever after.
Right.
you're saying make these changes in 30-day increments because it's so much easier to handle. And that seems to me to make a lot of sense.
It does. It does.
Because you can focus a lot more easily on, okay, for the month of January, this is what I'm going to do in this part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Instead
mm-hmm.
of saying, I'm never going to eat another candy bar again as long as I live.
Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't make that promise.
No, me neither.
Anyway, so we're talking about the thinking process, and here's a suggestion that, 30-day changes are a much easier way to focus in on changing what we do. And really, to change what you do, you have to change what you think.
Good point.
So
that's a good place to start.
And that's why we're beginning there. It's got to come down to thinking. So as we look at our thoughts, we want to find a basis for our thoughts in God's wisdom, because if you put your thoughts and you base it, I mean, our thinking is based on something. So you might as well choose what it's going to be based on.
The right thinking.
Right. And the right thinking would be based on God's wisdom. So, folks, as we approach this, let us know what you think. Also, when we ask the question, should I be committed? Let us know what you think. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, don't forget, it's christianquestions.net.
So, Jonathan, Psalm 104:24, looking at our thoughts and a basis for our thoughts in God's wisdom.
O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions.
So that's looking at God's wisdom. And when you look at God's wisdom, you say, how many are your works? You've made the earth is full of your possessions. When you think about the intricacy of creation.
It's amazing.
And I don't know where the special comes from. We got it from my parents for Christmas as part of their Christmas gift. It was a special on earth. And it's this 6 or 7 DVD series, and it is magnificent when you look at the creation and the intricacy and the detail of all of these different completely contrasting parts of this one planet Earth.
We got a wonderful email from a friend that sent us National Geographic's Pictures of the Year.
Ah, okay.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah,
breathtaking.
And to think that so many people think about that and say, well, it all happened by accident, by chance. I just can't get that. And the point is, it took great wisdom to put those things in place.
Absolutely.
So if that's the great wisdom that we're trying to base our thinking on, I think then we would be on the right track. So again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And check out our Facebook and our always updated blog at christianquestions.net.
Should I be committed? That's the question. I think I'm going to have fun with that. All right, so everybody knows what a compass is, right?
Yes.
And a compass naturally always goes back to pointing towards north.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question. Let's take that picture of a compass and say, all right, does the compass of our mind, where does it go to find its own true north? In other words, where does our mind naturally go back to? What kinds of things are there options for our mind to go back to as true north? Well, let's take a look. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5.
You must understand this, that in the last days, distressing times will come. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, abusive, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the outward form of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid them.
Boy, that was not a very nice verse to read so early in the morning.
But this is carnal, fleshly. This is the natural mind, but not the spiritual mind.
And so is our true north going back to those things?
Right.
And really the key for people will be lovers of themselves. Now look, there's nothing wrong with loving yourself, but it's got to be done in the proper context, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And when it talks about being treacherous and reckless and swollen with conceit and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. See, that takes the loving of self and putting it, its way out of balance with the way life, I think, is meant to be.
Yes.
So is that what our true north in our mind is? And if it is, how happy are you? Because, see, I really think that true happiness comes through being part of or being dedicated to something that's larger than yourself. I just think that when you get down to the core of happiness, that's what you're going to find. One other scripture along these lines, Romans 1:28.
And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God that gave them up to a debased mind and to things that should not be done.
So God allows this kind of thinking. He allows the true north of the thoughts of many of the human race to be way off.
Mm-hmm.
To be going in the wrong direction. So if you're trying to find your way through, God is not going to make you find him. He's going to allow you to make your own choices. And that's what our free moral agency is all about.
Our free will, yes.
And that's a good thing. Free will is a great thing. But free will also needs to have checkpoints for which it can find its way. Let's look at another way of finding true north. You've got that, as you said, that carnal way of looking at things. Well, let's look at more of a spiritual approach to true north.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
So here, that's a very different...
I vote for that one.
It starts out in a very, very positive way. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So in other words, if you didn't hear me the first time when I said rejoice...
You heard the second.
let me make sure you heard it the second time.
Yeah.
And it ends up by having that rejoicing attitude. That verse 7 really, I think, really nails it down.
It does. That peace with God. That's what we desire.
And the peace of God passes all understanding. What that means is it's not something you can just explain. Well, here's what the peace of God will do for you. It's beyond the ability to really comprehend, because it's that inner sanctuary, if you will, where you can find God in your life, and it gives you great, great direction. So as we look at this, which is our true north for our thoughts? Do we go toward God, or do we go toward the carnal way of looking at things? Our wisdom really does need to be based on God's wisdom.
Psalms 90:12. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom.
See, it says teach us. So it's asking for God's instruction, so we in turn can present to him a heart of wisdom.
Right. So we ask ourselves, how can I serve the Lord today?
Right. And we learn the lesson that he teaches us, and then we can present that heart of wisdom back to God. And,
yes.
And one more scripture quickly before we close this segment here.
But where can wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. And to men he says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding.
So the fear of the Lord is wisdom, the respect, the reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom. So, again, we're talking about our thoughts and the true north of our thoughts. And really, to get our thoughts, if you want to make a change, you have to look at your thoughts and say, what are my thoughts based on? Where are my thoughts going? Where are they bringing me? And is that the right direction?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, should I be committed? Do you have thoughts that can tear you down? What are they? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, should I be committed? Rick, you did that on purpose.
Yes, I did.
Should we be committed?
So the question, folks, is should Jonathan be committed? Call now, 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. Happy New Year.
And our website, christianquestions.net. Thanks, bud.
Hey, anytime. You know, I did write that question with you in mind. So, so we're talking about being committed. We're talking about making changes. It's New Year. It's 2012. And most of us, I don't know what the numbers are, but most people look at the new year and say, okay, time to make some changes in my life, time to take a few things away from life that really shouldn't be and add some things that really should be to increase my quality of life. And we get that feeling of determination and this time I'm going to do it. And we go through all of that. And then oftentimes 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 weeks later, we don't even remember what we resolved to do.
Right. And for the Christian, it's how can I serve the Lord better this year?
And when we say that, you know, how do I serve the Lord better? Really, it's got to come down to on a daily, regular basis.
Our thoughts have to be constant.
So this hour, we're talking about thinking. We're talking about what goes on in the thinking process. In the first segment, we were talking about the true north of our thoughts. Where do our thoughts naturally go back to? Do they naturally go back to a good place, a spiritual place, or do they naturally go back to carnal places? And that gives us a sense of, okay, here's where, whatever it is, here's where we're starting. How do we make it better?
Good.
So, now, the next question, Jonathan, what thoughts are we comfortable with?
Well, Rick, that word comfortable could be good or bad.
Yeah, it can be deceiving because, you know, comfort doesn't necessarily mean it's good for us.
Right.
So, but it does mean what's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, look, everybody likes to be comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But it also could be lazy. Oh, I'm fine. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, I feel good. I'm a couch potato and I'm loving it. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21.
Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God."
So again, that really does focus us on, is our thinking toward earthly things? Is it toward stuff? Or is it toward that vision of something that's just bigger than we are that we can be part of? And for us, it's being part of the outworking of the plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, if you have a thought, if you want to know, if you want to let us know if you think Jonathan should be committed.
Or Rick.
It's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And check out CQ Rewind. It's a PDF file, and you can get once a week. It's sent to your email, and you get bonus material, and you can see all the scriptures and our reasonings that link the scriptures together on our subjects. It's a great service.
And it's free.
That's right, at ChristianQuestions.net.
That's right. That's the only place in the entire world you can go to get CQ Rewind is ChristianQuestions.net. That is the nerve center of all that happens here, let me tell you. Jonathan, we're talking about our thoughts and comfort. Coming up, we have a great soundbite from Kelly Traver. She's a doctor. She wrote a book, and I apologize, I can't remember the title of the book. You can find more on this on simonandschuster.com. But she's explaining the idea of our thoughts being comfortable in our mind and what that actually means. This really, to me, put things in perspective. So let's go to this next soundbite.
Understanding the brain and how it responds to change is a critical piece of the puzzle for getting healthy and staying healthy. First, you need to understand that your brain operates on the same principle as your body, homeostasis. Homeostasis is a fancy word that means don't rock the boat, keep everything the same. Just as your body's physiology works to keep parameters like calcium, blood sugar, and weight stable, so does your brain work to continue whatever behavior it's become used to. It seems to say, okay, I got you here with this behavior and you're alive, so keep doing what you're doing. Behavior change is hard, but the good news is we can change.
All right, and we're going to come back to Kelly Traver later on in the program. But homeostasis, keep everything the same, don't rock the boat. We all get into that, and what happens is we get wired that way.
That seems very comfortable, Rick.
It is very comfortable. It's very comfortable to have the habits that are in place And our brain actually tells us that, hey, don't change that habit.
Change is hard.
It doesn't like change because we're alive according to what we've been doing.
But what about that saying, if you're not growing, you're dying?
Well, and that's why change is necessary. It's hard, it's necessary, and not necessarily comfortable. So when we look at our thinking, sometimes the thoughts that we're comfortable with are not necessarily the thoughts that we ought to follow along with, because they're going to keep us at a place where we're trying to get away from. So some of the habits, and I can testify to this, you know, some of the habits that I have and have had don't lend toward my general health. And it takes looking them square in the eye and saying, I am going to change my comfort level. I'm going to be comfortable with the discomfort of not doing that anymore. And that's hard.
It is.
It's hard. It certainly is hard. Our thoughts have to attain unto spiritual comfort. Really, for a Christian, that's what we need to be looking for. And 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 5 is a great text to put us in that perspective.
And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God.
Now see, one of the things that I love about this scripture is it gives you a tremendous insight into the Apostle Paul. Because when you think about it, before he became a Christian, he was Saul of Tarsus.
He was a doctor of the law.
He was a powerful man.
Yes, he was.
He had a lot of influence.
Yes.
And he was used to putting that personal power forward to influence.
Mm-hmm.
Here, he becomes a Christian, and what does he say? He says, when I came to you, I didn't come to you in superiority of speech or wisdom, essentially, like I used to.
He was humbled, Rick.
Right, right, right. And it was not comfortable from a physical standpoint for him to be humbled. But he said, and how did he do it? He says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So I determined to focus on spiritual things. I made a choice, comfortable or not. I made a choice to focus on something higher as I approach you. And I didn't come to you with this fancy wisdom like I used to, but I came to you in the power of God.
And he saw the hypocrisy of men with wisdom. And when he found the truth and the Lord Jesus, it's like you can see the difference.
And he chose.
Compare and contrast.
Right, right,
right.
And he chose a very difficult, uncomfortable path.
Right.
Because he walked away from what he was steeped in and what he was leading.
Yeah.
And he walked toward that which he was against originally. So it's an amazing picture of not necessarily focusing on that which is comfortable. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
Also, if you don't want to call us, but you would like to get in touch with us, you can certainly do so through the email, Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net. Rick at christianquestions.net. That's a personal email, and you will get a personal response in a timely fashion there as well. So, Jonathan, let's go. Whenever you hear about resolutions, one of the things we always hear about are kids.
Sure.
And the things that they want to resolve to do. And when we hear a resolution come from a child, it's a lot easier to understand it because we know what the childlike enthusiasm really means and so forth. So this was from All 4 Tube Kids Channel. All, the number 4, Tube Kids Channel. And we just have some excerpts of a young lady telling us her New Year's resolution. So, Fred, let's go to the next soundbite.
For the New Year's resolution, I'm going to start eating more healthy foods like my dad does because it helps you get more energy. And it helps you run faster and get more exercise.
See that? Healthy foods help you get more energy and run faster and get more exercise.
Hey, that's a good thing.
See, now, isn't that a great resolution?
Sure,
it is. Eat healthier.
And, right, definitely.
And so that's one of the things that oftentimes we decide, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat healthier. Right. That's a great thing to say. What are your thoughts along the lines of eating healthier?
It's pretty broad when you ask, when you say
well,
that.
Well, that's a good point. First of all, that's a very broad statement.
Yes.
Secondly, do we go back to the comfort of, but that cupcake looks so good. Just one cupcake is
okay.
And
that candy bar, I mean, it gives me energy.
And the dark chocolate.
For a minute.
You know, dark chocolate is good for you.
It is. It's good for the heart, I heard.
It is. It is. It has been scientifically proven. I hang on that little thread. I love dark chocolate. But, you know, eating more healthy, that's something that we all say, yes, I'm going to eat more healthy. Well, what does that mean? And what, it's great to say it, but how does your thinking change? That's really what we want to focus on this morning. So, Jonathan, as we look at the thinking part, we have thoughts that can build us up, and we'll get to those shortly. But we also all have thoughts that tear us down.
We do.
And really, that's one of the things that needs to be identified, is what thoughts do we have that pull us down, that bring us away from where we're trying to go? Because if we can at least identify them, then we can isolate them and start to work on replacing them. So let's take a look at thoughts that tear us down. And folks, if you have a thought on thoughts that tear us down, or if you have a thought on whether or not Jonathan should be committed, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL.
We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And check out our archive programs on our website on a variety of subjects. That's ChristianQuestions.net.
That's right, ChristianQuestions.net. So, thoughts that tear us down, Jonathan. Let's start covetous thoughts.
You should not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
So coveting, wanting something that's not yours because your neighbor has it and you want it because your neighbor has it. And the idea of coveting is because they have it is the reason I want it. So coveting is a tear me down thought.
It is.
It doesn't ever bring anything positive to your life. If we have thoughts that covet, we need to try to understand that we have those thoughts so that we can work on replacing them with something better.
Good.
That's one kind of thought that would bring us down. And look, there's lots of them. We're only going to focus on a few.
All right. How about lazy thoughts?
You never have lazy thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Proverbs 6, 6 through 9. Go to the ant, you lazy bones.
It's just funny that this is the New Revised Standard Version, that it says lazy bones in the Bible. I laugh every time I read that. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to start that again.
Okay.
Go to the ant, you lazy bones. Consider its ways and be wise. Without having any chief or officer or ruler, it prepares its food in summer and gathers its sustenance in harvest. How long will you lie there, O lazy bones? When will you rise up from your sleep?
Do we have lazy thoughts? And the admonition here in Proverbs is, well, look at the ants. Without having anybody to tell it what to do, the ant knows it has to prepare its food in the summer and gather up and store for the winter and so forth. It just works and it works and it works and it works. And that's how it maintains itself. So instead of being lazy and wishing that somebody else would do the work for us.
We all have responsibilities in our lives, and are we fulfilling our responsibilities?
Well, even further than that, not only do we have responsibilities, but we have things that if we apply ourselves, our lives could be so much more valuable to those around us,
mm-hmm.
and we could really have a greater impact if we would step outside of the laziness of our own thinking and replace that laziness with something else. So that's another thought process that can tear us down. We've got covetous thoughts, lazy thoughts, and one more in this segment would be idolatrous thoughts.
For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible men, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in their lusts, in their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
So the idolatrous thoughts are dastardly, and those, look, lazy thoughts, yes, we all have them. And covetous thoughts, we probably all have them. But idolatrous thoughts, I think that's one of the most difficult and deceptive, because we live in a world that is built on idolatry.
It is.
It is just, when you look at, I mean, for goodness sakes, the American Idol. it says it right in the title, all right? It just gives you a sense, and we love that. We love to idolize individuals. We love to idolize people and stars and athletes and so forth and so on. We love to make the person the center of everything instead of God. And that's not a building up thought.
It's not.
And when that happens, well, it focuses on the idolization of others. It focuses on ego, and ego never, ever brings something good. So, folks, we're looking at our thoughts, what thoughts bring us down, and how do we get our thoughts working toward going the right direction.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, should I be committed? Coming up, what thoughts strengthen you and move you to action? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Christian Questions, I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, should I be committed? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So, really, let's get serious. Should Jonathan be committed? The whole point here is we're looking at how we think in this hour. We're looking
Rick, I should be committed.
You should be. I agree.
To the Lord.
That's right. That's right. And we should be committed to making those small changes in our lives that can make our lives more productive and more spiritually oriented.
Yes.
Yes, we should be committed. You too. So in the last segment, we were talking about thoughts that build us up. That tear us down.
Yes.
And we only touched on a few. We talked on about covetous thoughts. We talked about lazy thoughts. And we talked about idolatrous thoughts. So now we want to talk about, well, what kinds of thoughts will build us up, will make us stronger? And the first point under this, and folks, again, if you do have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, don't forget, ChristianQuestions.net.
And, you know, if you do have a comment, but you don't want to make it on the air, you can certainly make it on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you on Facebook. Click into Facebook and let us know what you think about what's going on here. Thoughts that build us up, Jonathan. The first one on the list that we're going to touch on this morning is humble thoughts. And you think about that and says, that's not exciting. That's not fun.
How can that build us up?
Right. Well, let's take a look at Romans 12:3-5.
For I say, through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another.
So this does a number of things. It first of all, it puts things in perspective, saying, look, don't get all full of yourself. That's the first admonition here. But think soberly. And then it says, just remember that you are one of many.
That's right.
So, you've heard of the VeggieTales, right?
Sure.
And I love VeggieTales, first of all. People say I sound like Bob the Tomato. Now, I don't know how true that is, but that's what people have told me. But one of the things that they say in VeggieTales is, God made you special. And this almost sounds like, well, he made you special, but not that special, because you're one of many. But that's not really what it's saying. He's saying we all have a very individual part to play.
Yes.
Special. But remember that there are others with individual parts to play, and you are part of them. That is a thought. When you can get your arms around that, that's a thought that can really build you up, because it's saying you're part of something much bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get all full of yourself. Get all full of the fact that you can contribute to the body of Christ.
Yes.
And that is a humble thought that can actually build us up. Another kind of thought that builds us up is are informed thoughts. Now, you think about it, if you're walking down a path and you have no idea where you're going, and you come to a fork in the road, you know, as Yogi Berra always said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. you don't know where or why. But if you are informed about the path, then you come to that fork in the road. It's so much easier to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
If our thoughts are informed, then we can be better Christians. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures that will give us some guidance along those lines.
Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day.
So, teach me your paths. In other words, inform me, lead me in your truth, and teach me. So when we're taught something, that doesn't mean we're ignorant anymore.
No.
So the idea is to become informed about our lives and where our lives are going, so that as we are moving forward, our thoughts will be able to be cogitating on that information. Let's look at 1 Peter 4:12-14. And folks, we're talking about the kinds of thoughts that build us up. If you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net. The next scripture, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing sufferings with Christ, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you.
See, this is, when you look at this scripture from the standpoint of having informed thoughts, this is a real eye-opener.
It is.
Because it says, don't be surprised that fiery ordeal is taking place to test you.
So if you know and you're aware, it's okay.
Right, because when it happens, you say, wait a minute.
This is a lesson.
Exactly. This is for a reason.
Yes.
This is for my benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the difficulty now can be looked at with a positive approach.
Yes.
And you say, okay, it's hard. It doesn't take the heat of the trial away.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't take the duration of the trial away.
Right.
You know, it's not like taking a cold ease or a Zicam and saying, oh, you know, reduce the length of your trial. Take one of these. No, that's not what's going to happen. But it takes the sting away, because we understand our thoughts can be informed. And when we have informed thoughts about our difficulties, that they are for our benefit, that they are God-driven, then those difficulties are not nearly as difficult for us to manage.
That's right.
All right, Jonathan, let's go to another soundbite. This is entirely different. This is from Amanda Marie blog, and she's talking about a daily power ritual, and talking about just, this is a very practical blast, if you will, of how do you accomplish things without just letting them continually fall off the table.
So here's my daily power ritual. The day before, okay, so the evening when I quit whatever I'm doing on my computer for the day, whether it's 4 p.m. or 10 p.m. or whatever time I'm done, I make a list of 5 things that I want to get done for the next day. By doing it the day before, your mind subconsciously works on solutions to those problems as you eat dinner that night, as you sleep that night, and when you wake up in the morning, it's already ingrained that those are the things that you're going to get done today. So I write down the 5 things that I want to get done for the next day at the end of each day. I found that more than 5 becomes very daunting, and I don't tend to get it done. So I try to limit myself to 5. Anything over and above would be bonus.
Now, that's a very practical, simple thing.
It is.
Write down. Make a list. See, I like lists. Mm. I'm a list maker, and I do this. I do this not necessarily every day, but most days. When I'm relieving my office, for instance, I'll take a few minutes and think about, okay, tomorrow, what are the things I really want to get done? And I'll just make a little list, and I love checking them off the next day.
Yes.
Also, for me, the idea of being able to sleep on something, it almost sounds like a lazy thing. Oh, let me sleep on it. But it really does work.
Well, should Rick be committed? That's the question that we're talking about this morning.
It does work. Working on preparing for a radio program, actually, is one of those things where sometimes I'll get stuck during the week, and I'll be working on something and trying to formulate an idea or an approach, and literally I get stuck. And you know, maybe it's a little bit late, 9:30 or 10. I think, okay, you know what? Put it away. I'm going to sleep on it, and inevitably the next day it's fresh. It's clear again.
Nice.
But see, the thing is, it becomes fresh and clear because you put the effort in. And then you let your mind work on it. And so this list of five things or whatever it is really helps us to put it in perspective as to getting things done. And really, that's part of, look, one of the resolutions for everybody is get things done.
Yeah, just definitely.
And this is a simple little method that actually really, truly does work. Why don't we go to the phones?
All right. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good
morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy
yes.
New Year.
Boy, where has the time gone, huh?
It has gone. That's
excellent topic. Hits home. There's a saying, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything.
Yep.
I like that. Three scriptures. Number one, going to the Apostle Paul on commitment, Ephesians 3:1. You know, he rationalized an occasion where, you know, I'm a prisoner for the sake of the Lord Jesus.
Good scripture.
What a commitment. That's Ephesians 3:1. Joshua in the Old Testament, he succeeded Moses in chapter 24:15. I've seen that plaque in various homes, you know, a little sign in different homes with a beautiful scripture. Basically, it says, choose you, ye this day whom ye shall serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And our Lord Jesus, the model in John 2, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, must be verses 17, 18, thereabouts. The zeal of your house consumes me.
Oh, good scripture.
Like that. God bless. Happy New Year again.
Thank you, Julius, for contributing. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Good scriptures. Being a prisoner for the sake of Christ. And look, that is a pattern of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because you captivate your thoughts for the sake of Christ. You make that conscious choice, and that certainly absolutely goes beyond thoughts. The Joshua scripture, make a choice as to who you're going to serve. And then the John scripture was, the zeal of thine house hath consumed me. And look, isn't that what a Christian is supposed to be?
Yes.
We're not supposed to be consumed by Monday night football. We're not supposed to be consumed by, what are we having for dinner? We're not supposed to be consumed by our jobs. But the zeal of God's house should be what consumes us. Thanks, Julius. We appreciate your thoughts. Great scriptures this morning, and again, Happy New Year to you as well. What thoughts build us up? Well, we talked about humble thoughts. We talked about informed thoughts. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net, and check out CQ Rewind.
Don't forget CQ Rewind on christianquestions.net. It's a free service, the full edition. You can sign up for it. It's a once-a-week email, and it gives you the scriptures and the commentary and graphics and illustrations. And you know what? It's worth way more than free, but we do it for free because that's what we do. Sacrificial and serving thoughts, Jonathan, are other kinds of thoughts that build us up.
Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So in that scripture, it really does put the idea of sacrificial thoughts in order. It makes things look the way they need to look so that we can get our focus and our mindset on the right kinds of things. You know, in Philippians 1:21, It says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's another sacrificial kind of thought. Before this segment ends, we've only got a couple minutes here, Jonathan. I want to go to a real quick soundbite from the All Four Tube Kids channel. This is the little young lady. Remember, she's in her first resolution. She said she was going to eat healthier.
Yes.
Well, let's listen. This is a real short one. What's her next resolution?
I want to start watching less TV so I can spend time with my family.
Well, there you have it.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. I want to watch less TV. And again, for all of us, when we look at something like that, we say, hey, now that's a good thing.
It is.
It's a good thing to watch less TV because watching TV is somewhat of a mindless ritual that encompasses all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you get focused on that? You do it by thinking through it. That's the first thing. You have to have the thought that builds you up. Serving and sacrificial thought. And Jonathan, one last scripture before the segment ends. Righteous thoughts build us up.
Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, pure, lovely, good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
So having thoughts that are built on and based in righteousness are thoughts that build us up. So when we look at this, humble thoughts build us up. They make us stronger. Informed thoughts build us up. They make us stronger. Serving and sacrificial thoughts build us up, they make us stronger, and righteous thoughts build us up and make us stronger. And the second hour, the next hour, don't go away, because thoughts are one thing, attitudes are another. How do we focus our attitudes on the right kinds of things? For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We're talking about being committed to those things that are godly and that can help us to change our daily lives. We'll be back after the news and all of that, but until then, should I be committed? We'll be back soon. Think about it.
This is Christian Questions.
Somebody once said, there's a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when circumstances permit. When you're committed to something, you accept no excuses, only results. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is that biblical topic this morning? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Rick, the question is this morning, should I be committed? Thanks for that question.
Yeah, we've been having fun with that all first hour.
And our theme text is found in Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of calamity.
So we are talking about the idea, the concept of being committed to those things that can change our lives. As we get started in this hour, we want to welcome in our audience at WNOX 100.3 FM in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're glad you're joining us for this hour. I want to remind you that the first hour is available live online at christianquestions.net. And also the archives of the program are available to you at christianquestions.net. That's our website. That's where everything happens. If you want to be somebody, that's where you go. Well, you know what I mean. ChristianQuestions.net. So, Jonathan, as we get started here, just a couple of other things, and then let's get back into our subject matter.
All right. If you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320. And you can contact us on the web at ChristianQuestions.net. There are many archive programs to listen to on a variety of subjects. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net. Also at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first is a summary version that includes excerpts from the program, transcript, and scriptural citations. It's a free download. But the second, CQ Rewind, is the full edition. Now that's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts, transcript, and fully quoted scriptures, plus bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. Now, that's also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them out at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind. You heard the program. Now see it as well.
Thanks for that. And again, it's ChristianQuestions.net. That's where you go to find that. And that is a terrific, terrific service that we have. We have several people that work on it every single week.
They do a wonderful job.
They do. They're a volunteer army, and they're terrific at what they do. Jonathan, let's just recap our first hour. We're talking about our thoughts.
That's right. And what does the compass of our mind define as true north?
So everybody's mind has a compass that brings them back to what's inevitably most important. Well, what does our compass define true north as? Is it spiritual things or is it physical things? Okay.
That's the challenge.
That's right. What else from the first hour?
What thoughts are we comfortable with?
And remember, just because you're comfortable with a thought doesn't mean it's a good thought.
No. Laziness can, you know, creep in there, Rick.
Why is it that we keep bringing up laziness?
I don't know. You lazy bones. No.
What thoughts tear us down? Because we all have thoughts that bring us down.
We do.
And we were talking about idolatry, idolatrous thoughts and covetous thoughts and things that are not going to help us be part of something larger than us. And finally, what thoughts build us up?
That's right.
So it was thinking in the first hour. This hour, we're going to be talking about what?
We're going to be talking about our attitudes, Rick.
All right. You need to have an attitude.
Yeah.
A good attitude. Let's find a basis for our attitude, though, in God's love. So the first hour was what we think. And we were looking at that in the context of God's wisdom.
This is more like how we think,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. How do we think? And we're going to put that in the context of God's love. So, folks, attitude. If you have thoughts on how to get our attitudes in the right place, certainly give us a call at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
1 John 4:16, this is God's love for his creation.
We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him.
So when you say God is love, that pretty much sums it up.
Mm-hmm.
That puts things in a very, very strong perspective. So we want our attitudes, because, look, it's one thing to think thoughts.
Right.
And, you know, we do a lot of thinking of thoughts, whether we're even conscious of it or not. We're always thinking thoughts. But now, how are we thinking those thoughts? What? Because there's a filter of attitude that our thoughts go through.
Mm-hmm.
And when your thoughts go through the filter of attitude, what is that filter filtering in and filtering out of those thoughts?
And God's love really gives us trust as his children.
Yes. Yeah, it really does. So we need to focus on what is the attitude that drives our thoughts. You know, filters can filter things out,
mm-hmm.
like in a vacuum cleaner, you've got a filter.
Right.
And a filter, like in a coffee maker, can filter something in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can filter out the impurities and filter in the flavor. That's what our thoughts, that's what our attitude is filtering out, hopefully we're filtering out filtering out impurities and filtering in some flavor here. Again, in the first hour, we talked about having a true north for our thoughts. Well, what's our true north? Just like a compass, what is our true north for our attitude?
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it, you shall not do any work, you and your sons or daughters, your male or your female servants or your cattle, or your sojourners who stays with you.
So it's talking about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath day was a day.
Mm-hmm.
So what has that got to do with attitude?
Well, actually, Rick, being a Christian, every day is a Sabbath day for us, isn't it?
So we get every day off?
It's the rest, that peace that we have with God in our lives.
So the concept of Sabbath really is an attitude then.
It is.
To be able to rest in God. That's a filter. See, attitude, think of attitude as a filter. You can either filter something in or filter something out or do both. Your attitude filters your thoughts. So the Sabbath is the one of the filters that, like you said, that resting in God that we have to be able to use on a regular basis. It's an attitude of rest and holiness. Let's before we go to a soundbite, let's just contrast that with another scripture in Luke 6, 7 to 10. Now, this is also about the Sabbath, but this is somebody else's view of the Sabbath.
And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man with which he had a withered hand. Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about them, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other.
So here is the classic contrast between Jesus looking at the attitude of the Sabbath being for the good of man,
mm-hmm.
versus the Pharisees looking at the day of the Sabbath saying, you shouldn't lift a finger.
The letter of the
right,
law.
Which they were actually misinterpreting,
yes.
because the Sabbath made provisions for
doing good,
healing and things like that, rescuing yeah. an animal that's you know falls in a ditch and all those things.
Sure.
So you have them looking at the letter of the law, but missing the whole point. See, their filter was filtering things out, but not filtering anything in. Their attitude was to capture and trap Jesus, but the Sabbath wasn't about that. And see, our attitudes filter the thoughts that we think in our lives. Let me ask you a question. Let's just move on a little bit here. Do you like to fail?
No. I do not.
Neither do I. But you know what? Failure is a part of everybody's lives.
It is.
Failure can wreak havoc on attitude.
Oh, it can.
Or...
because pride can get in the way.
Right, right. And it can just be plain old discouraging.
Oh, yeah.
Or failure can help build up our attitude.
It can.
It can. We have a soundbite from Brian Tracy, and I've read a lot of Brian Tracy. He's very, very, very good with this kind of thing. And this was a lecture he was doing, and basically he's talking about success. What success means is lots of failure.
Remember that in order to be successful, you have to fail a lot. Thomas J. Watson, the founder of IBM, was once asked by a young man, how could I be successful faster? And he said simply, he said, double your rate of failure. If you want to be successful faster, fail more often. You see, there's a law of probabilities that says the more you fail, the more likely you are to succeed. The less you fail, the less likely you are to succeed. Peter Drucker says, you would never hire a person who has not had some major failures in life because they haven't learned anything. So the key is, if you want to be successful, don't be afraid of failure. Has anybody here ever failed, by the way? Have you ever failed? Yes. Does failure hurt you? No, failure makes you strong. There's an old saying that what doesn't kill me makes me stronger.
So he's giving us just a different way to look at failure.
What an attitude.
And that's exactly it. See, it's the filter. Your attitude is the filter of your life. And if you look at your failures as stepping stones toward succeeding, the more you fail, the better off you are. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and say, hey, I'm going to mess everything up because I got it. I mean, Rick said it was good to do that. No. No, failure in the context of doing, you know, making the attempts mm-hmm. to grow, to develop, to change, to accomplish things. And the law of probability says if you continue trying and trying and trying and trying and you fail a lot, you're going to be learning. See, the thing is, though, if you fail and you get discouraged, and then you only put a half-hearted effort in the next time.
Oh, that's the wrong way.
Right, because you didn't learn it. Your filter filtered something out, but didn't filter any flavor in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And our filter, our attitude filter, has to look at failure and say, wait a minute, based on God's love, God loves us. So our failures, therefore, can be something valuable that we can learn from. Let's go to... again, True North, in terms of our attitude, as described by Jesus himself.
I like this.
This is John 4:31-34.
Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work.
So the True North of Jesus' attitude was the will of God.
Yes.
That, look, now they're talking about physical food. Do you need to eat? Of course, everybody needs to eat. But he's saying to them, look, what's more important than that is the accomplishment of God's will.
Yes.
So that's what I'm focused on. That's all I'm caring about, because that's the most important thing. I can eat later.
And he's our pattern, so shouldn't we follow in his footsteps?
His filter gave us God's will. That's what his filter gave us as the attitude through which we should bring things. Jonathan, why don't we go to the phones?
All right. We have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning and happy First Sunday, guys.
Well, to you too, brother.
Genesis 19:26. But Lot's wife looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. When we have overcome a problem and the pain that inspired our change is forgotten, we might, like Lot's wife, look back. We can believe that it was okay the way it was. It wasn't the self-indulgence that was wrong, but the substance. It wasn't the lust that was wrong, but the object. It wasn't the lack of prayer, but the circumstance. Matthew 5:13. You were the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? Renewal requires a renewal of attitude, an interchange with daily awareness of who we are in Christ. When we look at our old selves, we must remember why we ask for change and live not complacent, but in new attitude and spirit. Romans 8:10, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness.
Randall, thanks so much. We truly appreciate it.
God bless you.
Have a wonderful new year.
You too.
Take care.
Again, Randall brings some very, very good points forward through the scriptures, giving us a sense of the importance of the attitude of moving forward. And we don't have time to read it, Jonathan, but in Philippians 3, 7-11, it will be in the CQ Rewind, available at
yes.
ChristianQuestions.net. It refers a lot to, you know, looking back, just kind of like he was referring to Lot's wife. And the looking back was the Apostle Paul's looking back, and those things that were behind are just, they're meaningless.
They're rubbish.
Because his attitude, the filter of his life was now the will of God through Jesus.
This one thing I do.
Right. So the accomplishments of life previous, no meaning whatsoever, no value whatsoever, because Christ was the only value in his life.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, should I be committed? Coming up, what attitudes bring us down and where do they come from? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, should I be committed?
Yes.
To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
You notice how we've got that title, Jonathan, and I've arranged it so you always ask the question?
Yeah, I understand. It's okay.
All right, should we be committed? That's really what we're talking about. We're looking at our attitudes in this hour, and we really want to look at the attitudes that can bring us down. Before we do that, though, in the first hour, we went to a young lady making resolutions.
Yes.
I want to just go back to another one of her New Year's resolutions, and these are resolutions that just come across all of our minds at one point or another.
I'm going to start cleaning up for myself because my daddy has to clean up all the messes, but we have to do it because it's our messes too.
Isn't that nice?
That's right. You know, I'm going to start cleaning up my messes because they're
attitude.
Mine.
Good
That's
attitude.
Right. They're my messes. They're not my daddy's messes. So that's, again, that's a resolution. That's something that we decide, okay, we want to do, and we think it through, and then we have an attitude about it. Now,
it's an attitude of contributing,
right.
Is what it is.
Yeah, and it's a great resolution. It's a great thing to say, yes, I want to do this more. The question is, do we follow through on it all the way? This is actually a two-part program, Jonathan. Today, we're talking about thoughts and attitudes, and another couple of weeks, we'll be talking about words and actions. So how do you implement it? Well, this is the first part. This is the warm-up, if you will, the thoughts and the attitude. Before we get to attitudes that bring us down, let's get to one that might bring us up. Let's go to the phones.
All right. We have Larry from Connecticut. Good morning, Larry, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Thank you, and Happy New Year.
To you too, sir.
Happy New Year.
May God give you a blessed New Year.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You know, I have to say that, you know, Jesus gave us the Beatitudes, which are the beautiful attitudes. And but I have to tell you, I had a bad attitude last night watching some of the entertainment that the networks are putting out. If this is where our culture has gone, we are in trouble. Watching Lady Gaga dancing and singing and screaming with a, you know, a birdcage on her head. I'm watching this stuff and I'm saying to myself, they all sing, they all sound the same. The lyrics are terrible. People are talking to a musical beat and there's all kind of suggestive gyrations. And that's what they consist of. And I have to say that we are in trouble, in my opinion. And with that, I want to thank you for taking my call and let me vent.
Okay, Larry. Well, thanks for calling, and as always, thanks for contributing.
My pleasure.
Happy New Year.
And you know, one of the things, and Larry's bringing up a good point, because, okay, what do we do with things like that? Because that's the world in which we live. He's right. And the whole point here is, okay, our attitude is our filter. Mm-hmm. We can take whatever comes our way, and we can filter it well enough to have it drive us somehow or other. The question is, how do you do that?
Right. Filter out the impurities and filter in the flavor.
That's right. That's right. You want to filter in the flavor. You want to find something that drives you. And you know, when you come across a circumstance like that, what should drive us is to be an example of godliness and Christ-likeness.
Mm-hmm.
That contrasts that.
Yes.
That's wholesome. That's full of goodness and virtue. That's, to me, that's the driving factor. Larry, thanks for contributing. We appreciate that. Jonathan, the attitude of entitlement can really bring us down because it's a lazy attitude. And it was actually exhibited by the Pharisees.
Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, "What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people, and that the whole nation not perish."
So basically the Pharisees are complaining, you know, this guy Jesus, shame on him for performing God's miracles, and shame on him for bringing people to righteousness.
And they're taking the people away from us.
Right. And the question is, well, who are you? Well, we're the Pharisees. Right. So just because you have the title, that means you're entitled to the leadership? And see, that's the thing. They had this lazy approach to their leadership amongst the people. Jesus did not have a lazy approach and was threatening to them.
Mm-hmm.
Entitlement just doesn't bring you where you need to go. It's damaging. So if we begin to get that attitude that I deserve this or that or the other thing, you better check your filter.
We need the humility filter there.
Right. We need something filtered in, some strong humility flavor filtered
yeah.
in so that we can lift ourselves up out of that. You know, the idea of making changes is, and we've talked about it, you know, you write down the things you want to do the day before,
mm-hmm.
the 30-day changes. Going back to Kelly Traver, MD, this you can find on SimonandSchuster.com. She wrote a book, I apologize, I forget the name of the book, talking about how the mind works. But she's also chiming in here in this next soundbite on the idea of taking changes step by step by step. So, Fred, let's go to number 8.
We know that if you practice a new behavior over and over for a long enough period of time, your brain will eventually decide that this new behavior is the one that needs to be protected and continued. Too rapid a change is interpreted by most brains as a stressful event. Studies of people asked to make major changes show activation on brain scans of the amygdala, which is a small almond-shaped structure in the brain that controls the stress response. If people are asked to make small changes, however, the amygdala does not activate. People who are ultimately successful in making and maintaining a major behavioral change have usually accomplished this through gradual, stepwise changes.
So, Jonathan, the moral of the story is, if you are feeling lazy and perhaps, now I'm just making this up as I go, but I'm using you as an example because you're sitting right in front of me. And perhaps your wife says, you know, you said that, you know, you were going to do this and this and you're not. You can say, well, I have an overactive amygdala. And
oh, I got to write that down.
But see, here's the physiology is that in our minds, because we are our brains are used to the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
When we try to inject something new too fast, the amygdala reacts to stress.
Mm-hmm.
And so it creates a stressful situation and makes you want to back off.
Right.
So that's why oftentimes making changes has got to be a gradual, small thing, small steps at a time.
Makes me think of the parable of the talents, how we're supposed to develop new talents in our Christian walk over time.
Yeah, yeah. So sometimes when we say, okay, I'm gonna completely change the way I live, it might not be the best way to approach it.
Failure may be right before you.
And it's okay to fail and get up again and fail get up again. But when you make things gradually, make the changes gradually, oftentimes they have a stronger impact on you in the long term.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, should I be committed? The conversation continues online at christianquestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook and our always updated blog. Again, that's christianquestions.net.
As a matter of fact, just a quick note on the website. One of the things we like to do is we like to track where we get people tuning into ChristianQuestions.net.
Yeah, it's fun.
And we get the vast majority is from the United States, but there's a surprising number of folks that listen in or go to the website from Australia.
Neat.
They're second in line behind the United States. From India, which is third in line. United Kingdom is fourth. And then fifth, this was hard for me to believe, South Korea.
Wow.
So we are
how exciting.
Yeah, we're very glad to have contact with you folks from all over the world at christianquestions.net. And folks, if you haven't been to the website, please do join us there, christianquestions.net. Other attitudes that bring us down. One that brings us down, Jonathan, and again, you know, you'd think that it makes you feel better, but it really doesn't, is pride. And we're a little shy on time. Go to Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2.
Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what day might bring forth. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips.
What great counsel that is. You know, don't boast about tomorrow. Let somebody else praise you. Don't do it with your own lips. Let somebody else do the praising of you. If there's going to be praising, let others do it. You know, you don't have to remind people how good you are. If you are really that good, they'll remind you. Okay? And the fact that you have to remind them is saying something. It says that your filter is filtering in and filtering out the wrong kinds of things in terms of your attitude. Another attitude that can bring us down is the attitude of anger. And, you know, it's easy to be angry about things, especially in the world in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do we do with that? Well, the scriptures help us to filter anger properly.
And this is found in Ephesians 4, 25 through 27. Therefore, lay aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity.
See, now that says something important. It says be angry. So is it saying, okay, whenever you have that sense of anger, just bury it away?
No,
it's saying be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down upon your anger or your wrath. So in other words, it's okay to have anger, but don't let it overwhelm you.
Good.
Again, your attitude. And what should our attitude be based on? The love of God.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have God's love filtering through our anger, our anger has to filter through God's love.
Yes.
Then we can put it in perspective. And God's love will filter out the impurities and filter in the flavor of what God's love is all about. And so our attitude in relation to our anger can actually change. It really does work, but it's effort.
It takes work. You're right.
It does. It takes a lot of effort. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. Our subject is, should Jonathan be committed? should I be committed? That's our subject matter. We'd love to hear your thoughts on attitudes and being committed to making the changes in your life that are necessary to really live a God-honoring life.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
And again, don't forget, Seeker Rewind on ChristianQuestions.net. It is a free service, and it's terrific in terms of all the things that it has for you.
Plus the bonus material.
Don't forget the bonus material. And as a matter of fact, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a great article, this week's bonus material, that goes over just making those changes in our lives that are important. Great, great article. Don't have time to go over it here, but you can get it at ChristianQuestions.net. Seeker Rewind. I'm not telling you where it is. You have to go get it. The full edition. Make sure you get the full edition. Another attitude that brings us down, Jonathan, is greed.
Yes. Luke 12:15, and he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions."
And that, again, that is one of those profound little statements. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. We are taught to look at life as existing through the abundance of our possessions. But when you look at it, and I don't remember, I heard somebody say this recently, talking about people that are very, very extraordinarily wealthy. And their point was, look, if wealth brought happiness, then the wealthiest people in the world would be the happiest people in the world. Oh, you know who it was? It was Rick Warren, author of A Purpose-Driven Life.
Oh, okay.
And he said, look, I know a lot of incredibly wealthy people, and he said they're not the happiest people.
They're not.
No, they're not. It's because we get tied up in stuff, but the things that give us the happiness are things that are outside of ourselves. And that's why our attitude has to be built on the filter of God's love in terms of the things that are in our lives. You know what, Fred, I want to make sure we get this next soundbite in. This is another short soundbite from this little girl who was giving us all of her New Year's resolutions. So let's hear this next New Year's resolution.
When it's warm outside like this, me and Brianna are going to start playing outside more instead of playing on the computer.
Simple, straightforward, to the point.
And it's a healthy choice.
And see, all of these childlike resolutions are things that we all think about for our lives.
You're right.
And that's why they're so important, because we think about them and say, hey, these are the kinds of things that we ought to be doing. One of the attitudes that brings us down, though, is that of laziness.
Yes, it does.
Proverbs 26.
Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The sluggard saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the street.
Okay, he says it, but he doesn't do anything about it. Look, there's a lion. All right, next part.
As the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the sluggard upon his bed.
All right, let's pause here for a minute. Think about it. You know, the door swings back and forth, mm-hmm. swings back and forth, doesn't go anywhere, just swings it.
What's the sluggard do?
He turns over this way.
On the bed.
And then he turns over that. Get up!
Continuing, the sluggard burieth his hand in the dish. It worrieth him to bring it again to his mouth.
I'm so tired, I can't even feed myself.
The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason.
So the moral of the story is, let's not be lazy. And laziness is an attitude. If we filter our attitudes with God's love, we can filter out the nasty stuff, the impurities, and filter in the flavor of God's love and goodness, and we can change those things.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, should I be committed? Coming up, what attitude encourages us, and where do they come from? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, should I be committed? To be a part of our program, call toll-free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And we're talking about attitude. Everybody has attitudes about their thoughts. In the first hour, we were talking about thinking. In the second hour, we're talking about attitudes in terms of change. We will do another program, Jonathan, over the next couple of weeks, talking about words and actions to build upon these two things. And this is really a textbook on what we need to be aware of to make the kinds of changes in our lives that we want to make. Last segment, attitudes that can bring us down. this segment, attitudes that can bring us up.
Yes.
Attitudes that can encourage us, and where do they come from? One of the attitudes that is encouraging, and remember, attitude is a filter. Filters can filter bad things out and can filter good things in.
Mm-hmm.
So the attitude of happiness and contentment is a terrific filter to put on all of our experiences. Let's look at a couple of scriptures there.
1 Timothy 6, 6 and 7. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either.
So godliness is a means of gain, great gain, when accompanied by contentment. So if we just are godly but we're not content in that godliness, it's not nearly as great a gain.
Mm-hmm. Good
so,
point.
So this contentment is such an important part of our lives. Now, contentment doesn't mean that you're going to be happy with the status quo, but you're willing to accept what is because that's what is for this day, this moment.
That's right.
All right. There's a big difference between just saying, well, yeah, nothing I can change in the world, so I'm just going to sit here and be accepting of it. That's not contentment.
No.
Contentment.
That's more like laziness.
Yeah, you're right. 1 Peter 4:12-14.
Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes unto you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. If you were revealed for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you.
So don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal, at the difficulties that come upon you, but know that these things are for the purpose of you becoming more Christ-like.
Contentment.
Right. So you can be content. Look, contentment doesn't mean you're excited about a difficult trial, but it means you're accepting of the difficult trial because you see that it's there for growth. And like you said, that saying, if you're not growing, you're dying.
That's right.
That's really, that's a Christian saying if ever. I don't know who said it originally, but boy, that really applies to Christianity in a big way. Folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about attitudes that encourage us. Give us a call at 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4. All we are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And the conversation continues online, and we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic, so post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. Again, that's christianquestions.net.
So many ways to get a hold of us in so little time. Also, you can get a hold of us through the email at Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net. So, attitude that build us up, happiness and contentment is one. Let's go to another soundbite. Let's go back to Matt Cutts. We heard from him, I think, in the first hour. He was speaking on TED TV and talking about, he was the one who was saying, make changes in 30-day increments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he's talking in this soundbite about small, sustainable changes are more likely to stick. And that's a very logical thing. He does a really good job explaining it, though.
I learned that when I made small, sustainable changes, things I could keep doing, they were more likely to stick. There's nothing wrong with big, crazy challenges. In fact, they're a ton of fun, but they're less likely to stick. When I gave up sugar for 30 days, day 31 looked like this. So here's my question to you. What are you waiting for? I guarantee you the next 30 days are going to pass whether you like it or not. So why not think about something you have always wanted to try and give it a shot for the next 30 days?
And that's a great way to end that. What are you waiting for? The next 30 days, look, they're going to pass, like it or not. This is January 1st. Today is January 1st. The month of January is going to pass. Why not be productive in that 30 days with something that you want to change?
Small, sustainable changes.
And they're much more likely to stick. And you can, it's easy to focus on, okay, I've just got just the month of January. And after that, you focus from there on. So again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and that means we're on right now.
Rick, how important is the attitude of joy?
You know, it's such a short little word. Three little letters, joy, but it means everything in life. Because, first of all, if you have contentment, you can find joy.
Good point.
All right, yeah. So godliness with contentment is great gain, and built upon contentment is joy. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
And again, we quoted part of the scripture earlier. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. There's a sense of having the joy of God in your life on a regular daily basis. And if you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, is beyond explanation, will guard your heart and your mind. It's not only going to be present in your heart and your mind. It says the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I mean, how good is that?
That's powerful.
So joy equals heart and mind being guarded by God's peace.
Wow.
Think about that. That's a great equation. This next scripture, though, Jonathan, you're saying during the break.
Yeah, I love this.
You love this one.
Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Then he said to them, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
All right, now there's a lot of things in this verse that we want to talk about for a few minutes here. And folks, as we do this, we're talking about attitudes that encourage us and build us up. Do call if you'd like to participate, 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
So, Jonathan, some of the things that jumped out at you on this particular verse.
Well, I think this is talking about the Sabbath, because this is the day the Lord is made holy for you. And I was thinking, how can I do this today? Give to those that don't have any portions. How can I help someone in need? And, you know, it should be kind of a daily thing in my mind. How can I help someone today?
And that's a great way of looking at it. How can I do it today?
Right.
Not next week or next month. And you know what? In October of 2014, I'm going to help somebody. Just remind me before we get there, okay? I mean, that's not what this is saying. This is saying, you're right, this is a very present kind of a scripture that says, be willing to help those who have nothing prepared. Now, the context of this scripture was the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem.
Okay.
Now, the people had let the place fall into tremendous disrepair. Nehemiah was the one who stimulated them to rebuild the walls.
And they were feeling really guilty, right?
They were, because they had let God down and they knew it. And they were actually grieved. Even though they had done this incredible work and rebuilt the walls under duress, and now they're basically celebrating, they were grieved at their own lack of faith for so long. And Nehemiah's words are, don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So he's
attitude.
Saying, right, the attitude of God's love. God loves you in spite of your weakness, in spite of your letting him down. He still loves you, and you see that through God's love you're able to do this great work. That's your strength.
Build on that.
Exactly. Build on God's love as the attitude that filters all of the experiences in your life. That is what our filter needs to be focusing on, is God's love. Attitude is a filter. Remember this. Attitude is a filter in your life, and when you choose what you filter in and what you filter out of your thoughts and your experiences, make sure that attitude, you get it from the God's Love store. Available exclusively.
Rick, you came up with a really nice quote. I don't know who it's from, but I love this. It says, a smile is the light on your face that lets someone know you're home.
Simple and to the point. And that has everything to do with joy.
It does.
You know, you because joy brings out smiles. Another attitude that encourages us is the attitude of reverence and humility. And let's look at John 13:13-17, in relation to reverence and humility.
You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than the master, nor is one who was sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them.
So there's a great humility here, because Jesus is saying, yes, I am your Lord and teacher. But what did the Lord and teacher do?
Wash their feet.
He took the position of the lowest servant.
Yes.
And he said, look, if I do this, then you certainly can do this for one another. Just mm-hmm. like you're saying, how do you go out and be helpful to another person
right.
each and every day?
Right.
That's exactly the attitude that Jesus is teaching us here. I can do it. You can do it, therefore. Proverbs 1:7.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
So the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Now let's go to Psalm 111, verse 10.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever.
So in Proverbs it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Psalms it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we can safely say that knowledge and wisdom come from reverence.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts life in its right perspective. And I do want to go to one last soundbite here. This was Kelly Traver, MD. You can find this on simonandschuster.com in relation to her book about how the human mind works. Because, you know, oftentimes we want to do things perfectly and right all the time.
Follow the 80-20 rule. If you follow healthy guideline principles 80% of the time, you'll be healthy. You don't have to be perfect all the time to have good health. In fact, that's worth repeating. You don't have to be perfect to have good health.
Simple.
80-20 rule.
And you know, that's a relief.
Yes.
Because
we're not perfect.
Right. And sometimes when we get this attitude of, you know, I got to do it, you know, I got to, if I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it at all. Look, we're faulty. We just are. So if...
And it's okay.
It's okay to be faulty as long as we don't get lazy in our faultiness.
Right.
All right. So a great little admonition to round this out. And Jonathan, just one last, couple last attitudes. I don't know if we'll get to them. Perseverance and determination, Romans 8:38 and 39.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So perseverance and determination, these are attitudes that build us up, and being convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That is a way that we ought to live. And finally, the attitude of compassion. In Matthew 9, it talks about the idea that Jesus had compassion on those that were sick. He had compassion on the sinners. We also ought to have that compassion. Folks, in this hour, it was all about attitude. Attitude is the filter through which our thoughts go. What is your attitude built on? Is it built upon the love of God? Your thoughts. From the first hour, we talked about thoughts. Our thoughts ought to be built up around the wisdom of God. Coming soon to a Christian Questions program near you, the second part of this program where we're going to talk about words and actions, and you put all this together, and what do you get? A very concrete way to change your life to honor God. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again next week with another topic. But until then, should I be committed? Let us know. Let us know on Facebook. Until next week, think about it.